good evening. Time being 5:30, I will start the meeting. Welcome to tonight's meeting on Monday the 19th of May 2025, and welcome to our member in the public gallery. Being 5:30pm, I now officially declare this meeting open. I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website. Unfortunately, due to a technical issue this evening, we're unable to live stream the meeting, but the recording will be made available. The audio recording would be made available as soon as possible on our website in the coming days. And I'll ask the CEO to confirm that the audio recording has started. Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, pay respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reet, the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Antoli, Councillor Bain, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Dean, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Richardson and Councillor Street. From our staff this evening, we have the CEO, Mr Stewart, Director of People and Finance, Mr Spinks, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Smee, the Director of Engineering Services, Mr Mackey, Director of Environment, Development and Community Services, Ms Shikuti, Manager of Finance. No, we don't have the Manager of Finance. No, sorry, he was on my list. And our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. And we have apologies this evening from Councillor Fox. Takes us to page one, that the minutes of the open session of Council meeting number 7, held on the 5th of May 2025, be confirmed as a true record. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please? A mover in the Deputy Mayor and a seconder in Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against, motion is carried. Workshops held since the last council meeting. We had a workshop on the 12th of May in relation to the draft operating budget. Declarations of interest. Does any councillor have a declaration of interest? No, thank you. And still on page two, transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from open into closed session or closed into open session? No, thank you. And questions without notice from the public. Does any member of the public wish to ask a question? Thank you very much.
Mark Tonellan from Huntingfield. With the state government's Recycle Rewards program now launched, does the council foresee and it possibly diverting recycling away from curbside recycling into the program, does the council see any way they might be able to reduce the cost of curbside recycling to ratepayers?
Mr. Mackey, would you like to assist? No? No. I'm going to preface my remarks by saying he's only just got his feet under the desk. The CEO.
Through you, Mayor, I think I grasped your question, which was with different recycling schemes and things like that coming on board, does that result in a decrease in the cost of curbside collection? Is that correct?
Specifically, I'm hoping if there's a possibility of the cost borne by ratepayers can be reduced.
Yeah, thanks for your question, and through you, Mayor. We would need to look at the detail of that and obviously continue to keep modelling the costs associated with these services. However, you know, the roadside collection of recycling, the significant cost in that is around the cost of the service in terms of picking up the recycling from there. So my initial response would be I think it would be unlikely that we'd be able to reduce the cost there, but that's something that we will continue to monitor as things change within the dynamic waste sector.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Moving on then, sorry, we have to go backwards. Just in relation to a declaration of interest, we need to note a declaration of interest. Mr. Mackey.
Yeah, through you, Mayor, I do have an interest.
In item number?
So.
Sorry.
Yeah,
CEO.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So the interest that Mr Mackey's declaring is in the election of board member for KWS, as he's the named party in that. So he'll be leaving the room for that conversation.
Thank you. Noted. Okay, so we're now back to page two questions on notice from the public. There was a question from Mr. Dinellan with a response from Mr. Mackey in relation to bike racks up at the new bus stop. And I can confirm that I even walked up there myself to check that it had been moved. And I can tell you it was only moved by about 20 centimetres, but I'm told it's made a difference. So happy to see that. So thank you very much. And if anybody does want to submit a question on notice, they can do so by completing the relevant form on our website or by emailing kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. Takes us to questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor wish to ask a question without notice? Councillor Cordova, then Councillor Bay, and then Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. My question's about AFL High Performance Centre. And the media has been running a story in the last day or so about the increased costs of the construction. The media's reporting it as a $45 million cost blowout in the construction of the proposed AFL High Performance Centre. In the face of ongoing rate increases over previous years, can the council provide ratepayers some comfort around the projected cost increases? Will they or won't they, the projected cost increases in the AFL High Performance Centre, will they or won't they affect local ratepayers in terms of whether their rates will change or whether there'll be a diminishment in council services as a result of AFL costs blowing out?
So I can confirm that there was a media event yesterday that the state government organised to announce the budget allocation ahead of the state budget on the 29th of May, and it was the minister made it known at that the costs had escalated from the originally proposed costs of $65 million up to $105 million, and that would be reflected in the budget papers next week. But as I have been at pains to point out, this is a state government project. We are not funding the any aspects of the AFL High Performance Centre or works associated with relocation of some of the existing facilities that need to be moved in order to accommodate the additional two ovals. So we have been very clear all along that the AFL High Performance Centre is not coming at a cost to ratepayers, and I have reiterated that to the media today.
Thank you. And one further question. How will local stakeholders and local ratepayers be involved in ongoing decision-making providing input around the AFL High Performance Centre?
So there will be opportunities for the community to engage in this project at a broader level. Obviously, we have stakeholders that are immediately affected by it, so the existing occupants of the twin ovals, the Knights and the Tigers. Then there has already been engagement with also the existing tenants of the whole Kingborough Sports Centre precinct, of which there are 33 different sporting clubs. And as it progresses, there will be an opportunity for broader community engagement as the development applications are lodged for the project. So there will need to be a series of development applications because there will be ones for the construction of the High Performance Centre, there will be ones for the construction of the various ovals, there'll be, for example, with the relocation of the dog walking area, we have requirements under the Dog Management Act to publicly consult on declared off-lead dog areas, so that would be another opportunity for people to have input into that process. So as those DAs are made available to the community, I'm not sure whether there are any further plans by the football club to engage the community in a broader sense, but there would certainly be opportunities through that process. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. My question is also about the AFL High Performance Centre. There's been some reports in the media about the mountain bike track relocating. Can I just clarify that when Council says that's relocating, it's relocating within the Kingborough precinct?
Yes.
It's not moving any further than that?
Yep. No, I can confirm that that is the case. Obviously, we have limited availability of council land. I think there's a bit of a perception that we do own as council a lot of land throughout the municipality, which is not quite the case, but it's always been our ambition that we want to keep I guess, the integrity of that sports centre precinct, because particularly for those activities like the mountain bike park area. So the master plan indicates that it would still be in that area, but in just further along, because where it's located at the moment would need to be the site of one of the additional ovals that will be constructed. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I also have a question about the High Performance Centre. I've heard that Inspiring Place has been engaged to look at the original master plan for the area and perhaps tweak a few of the bits around there. I had a conversation with Little Athletics, and there's a bit of a concern around that they will still have that vision of the 400-metre oval. Are we keeping all of the user groups involved, I guess, engaged and consulting with them regarding any tweaks to the original master plan?
Mr. Smee can assist us with that one.
Through you, Mayor. The work we're doing at the moment relates to, it's not Inspiring Place. Inspiring Place did the original master plan for the site, so the master plan that's being prepared at the moment is being done by Philp Lighton Architects in conjunction with GHD Engineering Consultants. Now, the work is specifically looking at the technical feasibility of the elements of the bid that we put in. So the bid was consulted on with all the clubs, and there's no changes proposed to the location of any of the infrastructure that we had put into that bid, but what we are now looking at is the finer detail, the engineering detail and the technical detail to ensure that what was done at a conceptual level when we originally put our bid in is actually feasible. We have been actively engaging with our key stakeholders in relation to that, and as soon as this master plan is finalised, we'll be engaging further. In relation to Little Athletics, it is the case that the proposed new oval above Gormley Park does impact on their ability to expand south, and that's been known by Little Athletics from the moment that we proposed this AFL High Performance Centre. Sorry, we didn't propose it, but when we originally looked at putting in a bid for this, that was always going to be the case, that the land that had been earmarked for them to expand Gormley Park is not going to be possible. And that has certainly been communicated with Kingborough Little Athletics.
Councillor Midgley, did you have a follow-up?
Not a follow-up, just digesting that, but I might just follow up with staff and Little Athletics, just so I can have a really clear understanding of what that means for the future for them. A couple of other questions. Hunting Field. I have been asked by community members what stage will the housing be built, when will the social housing be built, and just a reminder of what percentage of social and affordable housing will be there. I have sent these questions prior as well.
I can tell, because Ms. Shakuti is very enthusiastically has her microphone on already. Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. So I sought an update from staff today. They indicated, to their knowledge, so we're only dealing with the planning side of the development, development is still in the stages of finalising the titles, so our understanding is that, I suppose, construction won't commence for quite some time, perhaps a few months to 6 months. That's just our sort of estimate gleaning from what we know. The percent of social housing is 15%. And our understanding is that the social housing will be one of the later stages to be constructed.
Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. It's great to see the soft plastics pilot program at Beretta. Some community members are asking if it's going to be expanded to other areas across Kingborough.
We're looking at that at the moment. It was quite interesting that Hobart City Council were out enthusiastically spreaking this in the media when we're already doing it down here at Kingborough, and Clarence City Council also have their trial going as well. As I understand it, Clarence are at, they have availability at two locations, and it would be my hope, and in fact only this morning I talked to the CEO about whether we could potentially have the Civic Centre as another drop-off location, because we're certainly getting really good utilisation with our recycling centre that we have here, and also we now have the recycling centre up at the Kingborough Sports Centre also. But his light is on, so I'd say Mr Mackey would like to contribute on this. So over to Mr Mackey. No, you just turned it off.
I'm getting used to this. Not very well. Through you, Mayor, I hope my information isn't too contradictory to that, but I got some advice today that, yes, we're in a 12-month trial period to determine its, the successful nature of it. At this point, there isn't an intent to expand beyond Beretta and the reuse shop, and that's based on, at the moment, they need to actually man that to prevent cross-contamination.
I'm pretty sure you mean staff it.
Staff it, sorry. Jury. Yes, noted. And there would be concerns that we would need to staff any other collection points outside of the out of that site, so we'd need to work our way through that. So at this point, we are looking to run the trial period for 12 months and assess its success based on that for any further expansion.
I'm going to ask maybe what you're thinking before. I don't know. Maybe I can read your mind. But why does it have to be staffed?
Contamination.
Through you, Mayor. Yep. Currently, they are supporting the public actually not putting the wrong plastics in the wrong bins and creating cross-contamination.
Ah. Okay, there you go.
So all they would feel that they would need to have someone here support, providing that same support and changing over the bags on a regular basis.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. Sorry to butt in there. A further question to that, and again, it was relating to that contamination, because I've heard from a waste expert, but this was one of the biggest problems why they had to stop it, because of the contamination. And one of the big ones was the sticky labels that are on the soft plastics bags. I've got one in my bag here to demonstrate, but I won't do that. But anyway, that is something that needs to be removed to prevent that contamination. So I guess, are we going to do any kind of further education around that? I guess if you've got someone staffing it, then that's a good thing. But that, just those simple things can contaminate. But, yes, we do know from people's use of bins that people do like to put different things in bins. So I do support that trial. I guess are we going to do any... I guess we'll do further education. Well, will we do some further education around what can go there so people don't turn up with their big bag and find their sticky label thing at the bottom of their bag?
Mr Mackey.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. I'll consult with staff on that about what they're observing at the moment and also what further education we need to provide, or if today we are already providing levels of education.
Thank you. Councillor Dean and then Councillor Bain.
Just a follow-up question on Councillor Midge's question in relation to Huntingfield, and I'm happy for this one to be put on notice, but my understanding is I've heard that stage two, which is the next stage, the tender was put out by the government for all the infrastructure to be built, but I understand the tender was withdrawn from that. So can I just ask if staff could perhaps on council's behalf follow up as to the status of stage two?
Ms Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. I'm not aware of that information, so yes, we'll take that on notice and follow up.
Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor, and apologies, another one about Huntingfield. Do we know if the condition of the first release, if one of the conditions of the first release is the road between Huntingfield and the new roundabout and Channel Highway, does that have to be open as part of the first release, or is that down the track?
Ms Shakuti, I think we might be taking that one on notice, judging by her lack of poker face there.
Through you, Mayor, correct. I'll have to take that on notice.
That's okay. I just know a lot of people are excited about that road opening, so it'd be nice to...
There's been a lot of chatter on social media in recent times about that road opening. Yeah. Thank you. Any further questions? Thank you very much. Questions on notice from councillors? We had one question from Councillor Cordova in relation to a housing statement with a response from Mr Stewart. Still on page 3, petitions still being actioned. There are no petitions still being actioned, and at the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. Page 4, officers' reports to council, fees and charges for 2025-26 with a recommendation on page 5. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. I've got a mover in the Deputy Mayor and a seconder in Councillor Midgley. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. So we're considering the fees and charges for the year 2025-26. We discussed this at a workshop on the 14th of April. We all had the opportunity to ask questions and get an understanding of the reasons behind the proposed fee increases. In general, the fees and charges have been increased by 3%, which is in line with the long-term financial plan, unless a higher fee is warranted to cover the cost of providing the service or to align with other councils. So I feel comfortable about the proposed schedule, and I will lend my support to this motion.
Thank you. Councillor Antoli and then Councillor Midgley. Sorry if I got that in the wrong order. It was how I saw it. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. Forgive me, I was not at the workshop, so I'm going to ask some questions based on, obviously, ignorance. So there's quite a number that talk about being aligned with other councils or created in line with other councils. Obviously, that is not a universal comment through the figures, but can someone explain to me, with respect, why we care? What other councils do with our fees or what they do with their fees and how we have to somehow align with theirs. What's the reasoning behind that?
Mr. Spinks. No, the CEO.
through you, Mayor. So there's not necessarily a compulsion for us to necessarily have the same fees and charges as other councils, and certainly there's always some natural variance around what different councils charge for different services. I guess in many cases, sort of the equity across communities. We know people don't just live in Kingborough or work live in Kingborough and say work in Hobart or work in Hobart and live in Kingborough and things like that. People think more generally across wider areas, and especially for some business related fees as well. Having some level of consistency and market consistency is a consideration, and so there's some fees and charges where we take that lens. Certainly in a previous workshop that we had with councillors around some strategic levers and how we considered budget leading into this, there was a degree of consideration about looking for similarity in some cases with other councils, so that's certainly a lens that council staff have used in creation of budget-related documents and certainly the fees and charges.
Councillor Antoli.
I do have more questions. I'm just trying to digest what the CEO just said, and I'm trying to comprehend that there's... Pardon me, my watch is ringing. Apologies. So there's some here that are like substantially increased, 21%, 12%. There's some big increases there with this initial round of questioning. If we're happy to put fees at a certain point and we want to attract businesses to this community, why would we raise business fees and other fees of that nature when it really probably costs us nothing for those particular fees?
Mr. Stewart.
For through you, Mayor, the cost recovery and the relativity to how we charge is a consideration as part of these, and certainly where there are services being provided, having somewhat equitable fees with other councils is important. Council has very few ways of bringing revenue into the organisation outside of rates, and we need to make sure that we're setting our fees and charges at an appropriate level so that the rate payer as a whole isn't bearing the costs of businesses or other undertakings where we have an opportunity to bring revenue in a different way. I'm not talking specifically about any specific line item in that, sort of more of a conceptual concept around if we're out of keeping with other municipal areas, and we have the opportunity to look at, I guess, normalising our fee structure in some of these areas, then it's an opportunity that we certainly consider, and where appropriate, we'll take some action to adjust our fees and charges.
Councillor Antoli.
I'm quite conflicted with the response. Not that I'm criticising the response, I'm just conflicted in terms of my values, whether I can agree with the response or not. I'll move on to the next question, which is to do with page 7 or page 2 of the list of fees, page 7 on the report. There's a fee there for, again, I wasn't at the workshops, forgive me. There's a new fee there for $25,000, major amendment to the planning scheme. First of all, this is the first time I actually realised you could actually make a major amendment to the planning scheme in your DA. Could someone explain to me how that works and why has this not been in our fee structure previous, but it is now?
Ms. Chakuti. Through you, Mayor, it is already in the fee structure, so we do have a fee for amending the planning scheme. So an applicant can apply to amend the scheme, and in terms of what is minor or major, it's really determined by the complexity of the amendment that they're asking for. So a recent example is the one on the Channel Highway opposite Meredith. So we've just gone, we're in the middle of that process, so there's an example of that. When we were looking at the fees, so a planning scheme amendment actually entails quite a lot of work, probably much more so than even a complex DA. So we reviewed other council's fee schedules to sort of benchmark where we sat, and we were lower, substantially lower. Each council has a little bit of a different way of doing it, so we don't align exactly. So what we considered is the work done by our planners when we have to process one of those applications, and then benchmarked against other councils. So our proposed fee sits in about the middle of other councils, and we do have some discounts that we offer as well for if the applicant is not the council as well. So there is some recognition of wanting business to come to our municipality, and if they require a planning scheme amendment, there is, I suppose, some recognition of that is something we value in our municipality.
Thank you. I have two follow-ups,
Mayor.
Thank
you, Councillor Antoli.
Thank you. That was actually educational for me, and having concrete examples is always helpful. The first question is, so typically that would this fee would probably only apply to a substantial development.
A major amendment.
A substantial development may require a major amendment, but this is not for everybody. This is a rare event.
Correct. And we did have the discussion, if I just add to that, we did have a discussion during the workshop about exactly what you're raising, because it looks on the face of it large, but we were able to look at, okay, this is what they do have that in Hobart, Glenorchy, Clarence and others, where they have a fee for a major amendment to the planning scheme.
Yeah. Fantastic. It's actually good that I'm asking this question because the community doesn't sit in on our workshops,
yep.
And the fact that I wasn't there and that I'm hearing the explanation is probably helpful for them as well. I think you've actually answered my two questions. I'm personally conflicted by these increasing of fees by a substantial amount in line with other councils. I'm struggling with the reasoning, but because I believe on average, the increases of 3% are minimal, fair and reasonable, I'll be supporting it. So thank you for answering those questions.
Thank you. Before I go to Councillor Midgley, if I can just add, just for that further information, Hobart City Council, for a minor amendment to the planning scheme, charged $21,000, and for a major amendment to the planning scheme, $52,500. So there is a lot of, I guess, That's the extreme end, and we're certainly not at that extreme end. Councillor Midgley, and then Councillor Richardson.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Antoli. I was also going to ask a few questions so that the community understood these new changes and increased fees. So thanks, everybody, for highlighting those ones. And I also note as well in the report it says that we are doing this in May a bit earlier than normal so that we can put some communication and signage out to customers as well. So that's why we're looking at this earlier. And I noticed on some other councils' websites, I'm not sure in Tasmania, but definitely a couple interstate, just because I follow some on socials when I go on holiday, they have a look, and I notice that they actually, I know, it's just what you do, isn't it, when you're a councillor?
That's a quaint, like, that know, is a quaint hobby.
It's a little hobby of mine. It was Byron Bay, actually, anyway. And I noticed that they advertise as part of their community consultation the fees and charges to the community, so the community can kind of have a bit of a say, so we're not sort of having this, oh my gosh, this surprise. Have we ever thought about including fees and charges comms to the community before we actually put that to council?
Mr. Stewart.
Through you, Mayor, I can't say with surety about back through time how we've gone about those sort of processes or whether or not we've considered it. Certainly this year we took a little bit of a different approach to our community engagement, so we had that conversation up front to really hear what the community was looking for in the first instance, so that we could help structure our budget that way around, rather than putting out a laundry list of lines of budget for the community to respond to. The reason we did that was to try and have more of a strategic response and a high-level response from the community so that we could meet the overall aspirations rather than getting things tied down in individual line items. So certainly that wasn't something that we looked at doing this time around, you know, consulting or engaging on the full list of fees and charges. Certainly we'll be reviewing this budget process afterwards to consider how well it worked and whether what improvements we need to make for the future.
Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. When I was looking at the burial fees, I just wondered with this whole, we've got the policy around natural burials, I'm wondering, does that encompass and include the natural burials in regards to the fees under that area?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, yeah, it's the same fee. In effect, a burial is privatisation of a plot of land, and the manner in which you're buried doesn't change the area of land you are getting.
Great.
Thank you. I'm not sure you're getting it. Your family's getting it. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. Good to know. And I guess in regards to, I mean, it's not a massive thing, but there is the waste motor oil, which is a new thing for the public. And that was, if I remember from the workshop, because now Beretta is actually being charged a fee to dispose of that. So that's why those new fees in. So I guess for the community to know that sometimes these fees are beyond council's control. So that's why we need to put in some new areas as well. But if, I don't know, yeah, if staff want to add to that one.
No. I'm advised no. Councillor Richardson and then Councillor Dean.
Thank you. Look, in the spirit of what we've spoken about with the last two speakers about this, I wouldn't mind some conversation around, I guess, the philosophy of how we set the fees. There's some comment in the reasoning about aligning with other councils. There's also some commentary around increases to partially cover costs. So I think it would be valuable to have a bit of a discussion around this and the setting of the fees and to what extent it is about cost recovery, to what extent it's about, you know, market alignment with other councils, and then also how do we balance the fee with service level provision.
Mr. Stewart.
Thank you for the question, and I'll try my best to answer that because it's a relatively complex series of considerations that go into establishing fees and charges. I guess at a high level, where council is providing a service in many of these areas, we try and look at cost recovery in the first instance. If it's something that that there is a broader benefit for the community. There may be some subsidisation to those individual costs from the overall rates take, but I guess in the majority of the cases here, sort of as a minimum, council's looking to try and offset or defray any costs that we incur in delivering that service. Beyond that, there's some other considerations, and as Councillor Antoli sort of rightly was referring to, there's also, you know, the consideration that we have around looking at the overall market and rightly or wrongly, consideration of what others are charging in market is certainly something that we would consider, and definitely something we would consider if it was a private market that was providing those sort of services as well, for the competitive neutrality reasons and elements like that. And then I guess at a high level, we need to consider the overall financial position of council, and if and where there are line items that we want to have as revenue creating for council. They're pretty few and far between, I would suggest, but that's something that I think strategically as an organisation we need to be considering through time. I guess the final element to your question was around service levels. We have some relatively defined service levels in some parts of our business, and probably less defined service levels in others. It's something that I'm pretty keen to see this council continue to involve over time, so that we are clearer in the level of service that we are delivering, and then we can have more of a conversation in the strategic engagement that we have with our communities about the where we set our level of service, so that we can be more explicit about, you know, do we charge more and provide more, or do we charge less and provide less in terms of some of these areas. I guess that's something that will vary on an area-by-area basis throughout the various services that council provides, and certainly it's something that we have the ability to adapt and move, but we want to be, I guess, intentional in those sort of shifts and articulation of those service levels as and when we get that work done. So I guess it's a complex mosaic that goes into creation of just not just the fees and charges, but the services that we provide across council and how we consider them and how we fund them. This is a small, I guess, subsection of the services that we provide and how we fund them here.
Councillor Richardson.
Thank you. Very good answer, and I agree it is a very complex part. Just want to pick up on one of the things that we discussed there, which was the cost recovery. And if cost recovery is a major element, as we get better at tracking and monitoring those costs and then we can increase efficiency, is it fair to assume that with increased efficiency will come at least slow down in increasing fees?
Mr. Stewart.
Certainly working to reduce our cost in delivery of service is something that I'm very keen to see us evolve and deliver over time. And if we can slow down the rate, the inflationary increases that we provide to our fees and charges, then that's something that we would consider as part of that. Certainly, I think in the first instance, we need to really fully cost the services that we provide. And I guess when you're sort of, without going too deep into how the cookie's made, but when you're building up some of this cost-to-serve type information, it's not just the direct costs associated with it. There's also the indirect costs that, in my mind, should be factored into the modelling behind individual line items, are certainly for the significant ones. So once we've done those sort of analysis work, which we haven't yet, I think that'll provide us a much better basis for being able to make decisions strategically about how we want to structure our fees and charges. But there's a lot of work that goes into the mapping of value chains, the touch points that go into the various delivery of service, alongside indirect costs, overhead costs such as building such as this and all those types of things, which could and in my mind should be factored into our overall cost to serve model.
Thank you. Councillor Dean.
Thank you. Just a follow-up question on Councillor Midgey around the motor oil. I know it's small, but just do we know, my understanding is we've been charged, are we already being charged $1 per litre of used motor oil? Or will that charge be implemented from 1 July? If that's unknown, that's...
We might need to take that on notice.
Yeah, I'd need to take that on notice. Yep. So previously we were able to dispose of motor oil at no cost to council. There is now a charge associated with it. I'm not aware of the go-live date of that particular charge.
Could I then just request or put out there that if it's not going to be into the 1st of July, that we just promote the fact that if it's no cost to us, if we're not being charged for it, that those people that, you know, have, you know, a whole bunch of motor oil backyard that they usually change in once a year, that if we can get away with not being charged for it, to advertise that they should bring it in before the end of the financial year so that they aren't charged.
Mr. Stewart.
Certainly we can look at that. My understanding and belief is that we are probably being charged at the moment, but I just don't want to commit to that because I don't know that for certain. If for some reason we're not being charged yet, then certainly we could promote the fact that get your oil in now. Yep. But I don't believe it's necessarily the case.
That's fine. I just thought I'd put that up there. I know there's people like me that sit on a whole bunch of oil and bring it in once a year and might want to save 10 or 20 bucks. Then just a couple of questions around page 19 of the agenda around squash fees. This came up for discussion in the workshop, but again, as Councillor Antelli's pointed out, members of the public weren't there. So just my first question is line item 271, which relates to casual squash use. It does say there per person. So could I just clarify whether that is the case, that charge is $33 per person per hour rather than just a court hire fee? And while Mr. Smith's looking that up, I mean, having played a little bit of squash, it's usually a standard fee, which is...
regardless of whether you've got one or two people on there.
I'm still...
We might need to take that on notice.
Yep. We might need to take, that one on notice. My suspicion is that's the court hire and not a per-person rate, but I'll confirm that one for you.
Thanks. I'm still waiting to be challenged by a CEO to a game of squash, so I wouldn't want to pay $66 for that privilege of being beaten. the other question is just about the concessional rate. It's gone up 38%, which is a significant number. If you're a kid and you get dropped off and you want to have an hour of squash, or you don't have to be a kid, you can be a student or a pensioner. So it's gone from $18 to $25, and the justification there just says increase fee to be in line with member fees, which is $25. So I get that marries up nicely, but why is there a kids being charged the same rate as a member, right?
Mr. Stewart.
Through you, Mayor, I don't have a specific answer on that one, I'm afraid. I've got no answer. I can follow up with the team up at the sports centre and come up with a response if you would like.
Yeah, that'd be great. Look, they're just the two things. The discussion's been one of the most enlightening fees and charges discussion in the last few years I've been involved. But just those two ones jumped out at me. If we could have a follow-up. And I suppose if that follow-up could involve a discussion with the Kingborough Squash Club, who obviously are involved with this. So I'll just put that on notice. Not that I'm going to stop this, but I think that warrants a little bit more discussion.
I'm just wondering how we move forward with this then, because what we're being asked to do is to actually adopt the schedule that is attached to the recommendation, and we've got a query over a couple of those items, both the wording for... got a query over 271, 272, and... 271 and 272 now. I just don't want to... How do we proceed, CEO?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. My recommendation is that if the council is happy on the whole with these fees and charges, that they're adopted this evening. We do have the ability to adjust individual fees and charges through a separate paper at another time if that was the council's wish. So on the balance of things, it would be highly helpful for us to be able to start communicating the fees and charges that have been adopted, and if there are individual changes to the schedule, we can make those changes at a subsequent point.
Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I am happy to go with what the CEO said, but I do want to back up what Councillor Dean has zeroed in on those youth fees and those. I just think it's unfair to knock it up by 38%. But anyway, I'm happy to go with the recommendation if we can get an assurance that they'll be reviewed sympathetically.
Any further discussion on that? Okay, so it looks like we've got a way forward, noting what the CEO has advised us in relation to items 271 and line items 271 and 272. If there's no further conversations about it, Councillor Gladewright, did you want to sum up? No? Okay, I'm going to put the recommendation now, moved by Councillor Gladewright and seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Takes us to item 15.2, Kingborough LGBTIQA Plus Action Plan 2022-25 Review. With a recommendation on page 27, I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. I've got a mover in Councillor Midgley and a seconder in Councillor Gladewright. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, happy to review this. It's, wow, time has gone so fast. I can't believe it's 2 and a bit years since this was originally passed through Council. And during that time, a number of the actions have been met. And I guess one of the biggest things that the community, I guess, has attended or seen the colour of has been the Great Kingborough Bake Off, held, as it states there, over 53 entries the first year and 42 entries for the next year. These things might seem like small numbers, but they have a big impact. Like when you attend these events, the stories that people share and the reasons why they made the cake, from young people to all ages and diversity, is really heartwarming. I've had parents come up to me and thank me, and I've passed the comments on to council staff. So it is important that, you know, council is more than roads, rates and rubbish. Like, we have an impact to make matters and have impact, I guess, in all areas. And this LGBTIQA plus action plan ensured that we had a focus in that area. And so, as you can see in the report, there is a number of things that we have done. There's been a Youth Action Kingborough quiz night to highlight, celebrate We're at Purple Day. We've had numerous flags flying across our municipality, which, again, members of the LGBTIQA plus community said was really important to them, and that felt that Kingborough Council was a safe place for them. There are some bits of rainbow sort of stickers around the council, which is important. Personally, I'd love to see a lot more of those, especially across all of our sites. And what else? We've advocated to state government for improved mental health services to the Kingborough community, because we know that this community has increased impact on mental health concerns. We have also done workshops for council staff and for councillors as well. It is important to understand pronouns and gender and sexuality and have education around that. Personally, that's another thing, I guess, that would be great to be ongoing, something we can't just tick off once in an action plan. We always have a new role of councillors, new staff. It's important to keep that education going. We also won a Dorothy's Award. Thanks, Councillor Street, for getting up early that morning and accepting that award. That was really great as well to be acknowledged. But on another note as well, Rodney Croom personally has reached out to me a couple of times, and I last year attended a Better Together conference in Melbourne to share this action plan from Equality Tasmania. He was really impressed about the work that we had done, the initiative and the process we went about in doing this. And in a couple of weeks, he's also reached out to ask if I can attend a local government panel to share what we're doing at Kingborough. But one of the things, I guess, that is interesting, where local governments have these individual strategies and action plans, and then some of them sort of have a bigger kind of community inclusion action plan. And I understand that's probably where we're heading with this action plan versus actually we're reviewing it versus kind of renewing it and going out to the community for consultation. Am I correct in that?
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor, yes, you are correct. I suppose the great thing about these action plans is, one, they're based on community consultation, so we have a level of confidence that they are addressing needs and gaps for our groups in the community. But they also give us a chance to try the different actions and evaluate their effectiveness. So where to from here is that the actions that we've implemented that have been really successful and meaningful, and we've had positive feedback, we will continue to integrate into our programming. And then, as discussed before, we are looking at, I suppose, our overall community services framework, and our learnings from this will certainly be integrated and documented as part of that as well.
Great. Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. So when we do, I guess, have a possibly a social inclusion or some sort of inclusion action plan or strategy, will we then go out to community members highlighting different stakeholder groups they can have a say?
Ms. Shakuti. I'd say the answer is going to be yes.
Through you, Mayor. Very early stages of thinking about the framework, but I would anticipate yes.
Great. Thank you, because it's important to ensure when we look at, like, you know, people perhaps in groups that aren't as visible or don't maybe want to go out and have a say, whereas this doing this action plan was a really safe place for people to be able to communicate and have a say. So, yeah, just to keep that in mind, and that's for many different of our cultural groups and all the different stakeholders that are involved in that community inclusion banner, I guess. So that's good to know, and it's great to know that perhaps we can continue with the Bake Off event, which again was just a really, you know, small impact but a big impact for people, and also the education. I guess one of the things that I saw on the action plans, and if can I just ask as well in future if we do have the action plans kind of attached to the document so that we can kind of look at it easily?
Yep.
Otherwise, I, you know, can Google it. It's cool. But, yeah, that would be great in future if we could have that. But I guess one of the things that stood out for me, and I was like, oh, how come that just doesn't happen, the allow provision for council staff to add their pronouns on council emails. Can we just do that?
Yep. Mr. Stewart.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. To take a step back before I answer that question directly, Councillor Midgley, sorry. I've had a conversation with the Mayor today about just how we convey progress on action plans like this, and in the future we'll do a better job sort of putting in a table, if you like, say the various action items and how we've responded to them and the outcome as well, just to be able to make it clearer for councillors and the community to be able to see progress against I guess various initiatives like were listed within this action plan. To come to the pronouns, so yes, that's an opt-in option that we have been have had developed in the background through some pressures within the IT space. We haven't had that fully rolled out, although it has been developed. Just staff shortages and things like that in the space. So we have a centralised signature block system at council, so it's something that people can raise a ticket to be able to then have that applied as a supplementary field to people's signature blocks. So it's in the middle of rollout, so I spoke to staff at our last staff meeting about the fact that this was an option for them, but it's just been a sort of... it's just had a few headwinds in terms of being able to actually fully embed it.
Councillor Midgley. Thank you. That makes sense then. Yeah, that you have a centralised signature block. and I guess the other one was, the Kingborough Sports Centre. I guess posters and that, it'd be great to see some more visibility around there, because again, we know that if the LGBTIQA+ community accesses our different sites across council, And I might even look for some free resources and things like that. So I know that places that I work, we have them. The schools that I work in, we have them in our rooms. And people constantly say that they feel really safe and included. Just seeing that poster makes them feel, yeah, like they belong. So I'm happy to sort of, yeah, look at that as well, because it does, yeah, when I look at the gym and different places, I think, oh, you know, where are our posters? We've passed this action plan. It'll be really great to see. So I guess when I take this forward in a couple of weeks to attend this LGAT, workshop where other councils are kind of interested in doing this, like we're just not, an anomaly kind of doing this. Other councils are wanting to roll this out, but it does take time and you've got to put dedicated resources to it. I guess I'm saying that we are now focusing our action plan to not just having a standalone kind of action plan, that we're going to look to incorporate as part of a community. It's a conclusion action plan, but we won't diminish any of the actions that are in here. I guess that's the biggest kind of concern that I see about this, but we will consult with stakeholders and ensure that people are included. So that's what I'm hearing. Just want to check that I'm correct on all that.
Ms. Shakuti was nodding, but that can't be seen on the recording, so she might have to verbalise that.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor, it's certainly our absolute intent that the components of this action plan that have been successful, meaningful, will be retained in our community programming. And when we get to the stage of our framework that is sort of a more holistic way of mapping all our community needs and putting action plans together, this will specifically be addressed along with other groups in our community where there's a benefit of inclusivity and support as well.
Councillor Midgley, anything further? No. Just before I go on to Councillor Cordover and Councillor Antoli, I did just want to thank you, Councillor Midgley, for having chaired this group and for the Deputy Mayor being the Deputy Chair of this. And certainly thank you for the work that you've done in this space and continuing to go around and speak to other groups about it. As you've highlighted tonight, we've done a fair bit of work in this space and it's good to be able to share that with other councils. And like you, I hope that, this is not the end of it. I think you've already made some really valid points like signage at the sports centre, but also continue on with some of those activities. And importantly, that training when we do have groups of new staff and councillors coming through, because I thought for those who were able to be at that training session that we had, actually about 2 years ago now, I think, that was really worthwhile. There was a lot to learn in that. So hopefully those things will be enduring as we move forward. So thank you for your work. Councillor Cordover and then Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I too wanted to congratulate and thank all of the team that's been involved in helping make Kingborough a safer and healthier and more connected community, as is our strategic imperative, including especially the 8-member working group and the two councillors who both chaired and deputy chaired that, Councillor Midgley and the Deputy Mayor Gladright. I also just wanted to mention that it's one of those things that I think this is a great exemplar of the progress that we can make across a number of different groups and communities, those who have historically and previously and contemporaneously feel either excluded or less visible or that they don't have equal access. This is a real opportunity, I guess a guiding light in a way, that we can show good work and good progress here and that we can then roll that out elsewhere as well. So I thought the way that it was broken down into those four key themes of greater understanding, celebration and visibility, feeling safe, heard and having a supportive place and equal access, it made a lot of sense conceptually, and I thought it was a really great that we were able to engage the community and hear from them directly. So I just wanted to say, in general, I think good progress is being made, and it's a good initiative, and it helps all of us, not just members of the LGBTIQA+ community, but all of us to feel like we're in a harmonious and place to live where everybody feels welcome and hopefully happy and healthy as well. So keep up the good work. Thank you,
Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you to Councillor Midgley and all the staff who have worked on this over the past few years. I know that for some in particular, some of the author and the authorizer. It's a bit of a passion project, and I actually was grateful for the time I was able to meet with them at the beginning of the process a couple of years ago. Question on the funding. The $20,000 we set aside 2 years ago was the $6,000 grant from the government on top of the 20, or did it help us reach the 20 so we didn't have to fund the rest ourselves?
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. Is before my tenure at council, so I'll have to take that on notice.
Okay. Because I'd like to know whether or not we spent 20 or 26,000 on the program. We've only hit 14 out of the 20 immediate targets, so we've only hit 70% of the immediate targets. Can someone explain to me what the other 30% of the targets are that we haven't been able to hit and why?
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. They mostly relate to updating our published materials, for example, strategies, action plans, and having more visible, I suppose, logos or wording on those around inclusivity. And then there was the Sports Centre item that Councillor Midgley also brought up. The reason we have not been able to get to that is, I suppose, twofold. In comparison to some of the other actions, so for example, the training, the public toilets at Kingston Beach, the bake-off, etc., these were considered, I suppose, slightly less material in terms of their value and impact. And to be honest, it's the delivery of those have been affected by our resourcing in the community services team, which they've had, I suppose, some peaks and troughs due to some unplanned leave over the last 2 years.
Thank you. Thank you. So logos and posters, they seem to be quick wins. I'm actually surprised that we haven't actually actioned them, especially if we had $20,000 to spend on them. I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm trying to understand where the money went, because we're being asked to fund it again for another 2 years, and I've got my concerns, and I'd like to get to the bottom of those concerns before I can cast a vote in good conscience.
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. More a matter of time, staff time, to be able to progress it and acknowledge that, yes, quick wins, and it's acknowledged in the report too that we will continue to put those in place. So the funding that will be continued is also for the successful action items that have come out of this report too.
Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. And there are 4 out of 10 of the actions for further consideration have been completed, so 6 out of 10 have not. And can you give me a flavour for the 6 out of 10? Probably.
So the 6 out of 10 are highlighted in 4.3 on page 26. There are 6 immediate actions that have not yet been completed. These relate to the creation of a symbol that would promote inclusivity on council flyers and advertising, allowing provision of staff to add pronouns on emails, and advocating to the Tasmanian Government for improvements to the health and safety of the LGBT
community. Okay, thank you, Mayor. That's very helpful. Again, some of those are quick wins that, from my point of view, should have been done already. I'll be honest with you, I'm not feeling that we've gotten the greatest value for money out of this. I actually was expecting more to have been completed by now, and I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm trying to give you a point of view, because we're being asked to now fund this again at the same rate for another 2 years at $20,000, and people are shaking their head. What's wrong about that? Am I incorrect in that $20,000 over 2 years? So I am right. So the shaking of the head is what then? I just want to make sure I'm on track, because when people are shaking their head at me, I want to know what that means.
I don't know who shook their head. So
the Deputy Mayor shook her head repeatedly. All right, so if I can move forward without distraction, it would be good.
Sorry, Councillor, I think it might be in relation to the asking of continuation of funding. I, I'm not sure I read that we are being asked. Could we just ask that of...
No, we're not. Could we, Ms. Shakuta, could you just clarify the funding situation for us, please?
Through you, Mayor. I think the finance is that Council supported the implementation of the action plan of $10,000 per year over two financial years.
Yep.
And then if you go down to the recommendation, it is that we will continue to embed the action plan, not a request for further funding.
Okay, well, I will have to admit an error on my part then, because I thought that this was... So this is not asking for more funding.
No.
This is asking for a renewal of a program we funded 2 years ago.
No, not really a renewal. It's indicating that...
Continuing support? But why is it here before us then if it's not...
Well, it's a report on what has happened over the last 2 years of the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And an indication of how moving forward those things will be incorporated, I guess, in the day-to-day work of council. Is that a fair summation?
That's correct.
Yep.
Through you, Mayor. So it was noted at a previous council meeting that a report, not just for this action plan, but other completed action plans would be useful to be brought to council to understand their status and completion, and this report is... indicate that we have completed this plan or it's come to it's run its course in terms that it was expiring on the 2025 to provide an update of the progress of the actions and the actions completed and then the recommendation moving forward in terms of continuing the work.
Okay. I must admit that myself and a couple of others who discussed this before the meeting have been... It's probably not the clearest it could have been on that one. Sorry, the CEO wants to say.
The CEO.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So we haven't adopted next year's budget as yet. The director was saying the intent for this paper was to report back on progress and specifically say that the program or the deliverables that were intentionally elevated within the previous period of time, which you're correct, there was 2 years of funding at $10,000 per annum, within the draft budget papers, and I need to stress that they have not been adopted yet, there is a $0 allocation specifically to this line for next financial year, and that goes along alongside the intent that this is embedding the program into our BAU.
Okay. Now, I thank you for the clarification. I suppose you can understand from my point of view with a different understanding, only a certain fraction has been completed and I just thought we were being asked to approve a continuation of the funding at $10,000 per year for 2 years.
So we will see in the future a similar thing to this for, say, the Multicultural Action Plan when it runs its course.
Thank you. I want to ask some questions about the if I may continue, Mayor.
Sure.
Some questions about the pronouns on emails. These are contentious things. Are they going to be voluntary or compulsory? And what happens if an individual is asked to add it and they're not comfortable with it?
Mr. Stewart.
Through you, Mayor. So it's an entirely optional activity that individual staff members can make the choice to do. So the way that they do that is raise a ticket through our IT team and it'll be added into the back end to their signature block. So no one will be in a position where they are compelled to do anything of that sort.
The DEI training that has been delivered to staff, was that compulsory or was that optional?
I believe that was optional. No, I can't. As it was optional for councillors.
My memory was it was going to be optional.
We might need to clarify that because it predates Ms. Shakuti and the CEO, but recall?
Through you, Mayor, it was optional.
Thank you. And going forward, it will be optional for new starters, for new employees?
Yes. There is no reason for us to be making it compulsory, no.
Okay. I'm also very sensitive that we have a high number of staff that work for us who come from culturally and linguistically diverse communities where this sort of stuff is quite not palatable. We don't want to be losing staff over something that's forced on them against their personal preferences. I do appreciate the clarity. I've please forgive me if I got off on the wrong step there at the beginning. That's why we ask questions, so that we can get them answered. So hopefully we have a no question is a stupid question culture here.
Absolutely.
And I do want to say that there was more than one person around the room that was confused. So we'll encourage the staff to keep up the good work.
Thank you. Apologies for the sort of confusion caused by this. Councillor Midgley, do you have another question?
I do. At this action plan, it's thank you very much for giving us an update. I guess because then the time period says it finishes, but there's still a number of actions, but we are going to embed them. There's a little bit of a grey area there in regards to that they could fall off the desk if there isn't sort of a dollar, you know, even though some of them are very low cost and the posters are pretty much are free that you can get. I still kind of worry that we're not like highlighting this as a kind of priority and it can kind of just fall off the desk, you know what I mean? So I guess how can, I be certain and for the LGBTIQA plus members of community that really think this is an awesome action plan, how can we be certain we're not just going, oh yeah, we're finishing this action plan, they'll kind of sit there, they won't happen?
So I think from what the CEO indicated earlier, that it is intended that the things that have not been completed at the end of this action plan would then become the sort of embedded in the business as usual of our community services team, who we know are very committed to this action plan. But Ms. Scooty, did you want to add anything else to that since I'm losing my voice?
Thank you. Through you, Mayor. It may not be visible to the public, but we do have strong internal work planning processes that we utilise. And so it will integrate into our team's annual work plan as well.
Thank you. And one further question. Thank you. A further question. I recall the last council meeting looking at the finance report, not all of that money put aside for the LGBTIQA plus area had been spent from my memory of finances. Am I correct in that?
Ms. Scooty.
Through you, Mayor, I'll have to take that on notice and review the budget.
Thanks.
Any further discussion or questions? Councillor Midgley, did you want to sum up? I'm going to put the recommendation then, moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Glade-Wright. All those in favour? Against? The motion is carried unanimously. Takes us on to item 15.3, fee exemptions and reductions policy, with the recommendation on page 29. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved to Councillor Cordova, seconded Councillor Bain. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Pleased to advocate for the fees exemption and reduction policy. The amendments to the policy are primarily to clarify that it only applies to fees and charges that are set out in accordance with Section 205 of the Local Government Act. Some things that I highlighted from here that I thought were worth noting was that council may consider refunding, exempting or reducing fees and charges on a case-by-case basis in instances such as, let's say that the fee or charge was incorrectly applied by council, or if a customer's overpaid, if there are some changes to legislation which means that that fee is no longer relevant, if the council hasn't delivered a service that was paid for, then that's another reason why those fee exemptions and reductions can take place. Council will not waive, reduce or refund fees that relate to those areas where fees have already been incurred by the council. And the policy will not be applied to general rates and charges or levies collected by council on behalf of the state government, such as fire and building levies, or contributions that are required under other policies in support of a development application or vegetation removal. And it won't be applied to fines and infringement notices. So I think it's all fairly prosaic. It makes sense to me, and I'm pleased to support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Any further discussion? Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a quick question around this one. where we've added in the 6.3, the policy not be applied to fines and infringement notices, I gather that's because there's another mechanism for people to contest those ones. It's not that they can't, it's just
that
another way
correct.
Of doing it.
That is correct. CEO.
Yeah, thank you. Through you, Mayor. So there's slightly variable mechanisms under each of the other sort of bylaws or mechanisms for fines. So there's a supplementary piece of work that we need to do to sort of harmonise the approach there for those various ways of dealing with those other types of things. But what we're doing through this policy is making it explicit that it wasn't through this policy as the basis for those adjustments that can be made.
Great, thank you. And the only other one was, I think there's a general manager mention in there, in 5.6.
Oh, I thought we got them all.
Well, on my copy there is anyway, just my copy there's a general manager, 5.6, needs to be changed to CEO.
Thank you. We will note that and have that resolved. Are there any further discussions? Councillor Cordova, I'm assuming you don't want to sum up. Thank you very much. So I'm going to put the recommendation moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Bain. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Takes us to page 38, flagpole policy review, with a recommendation on page 39. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Who wants to fly the flag? Councillor Midgley.
I will, because I think that...
Hang on, seconder, Councillor Street.
Sorry.
Yep. Thank you, Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. Happy to move this one because I think it was initiated by asking if we could fly the pride flag, and then we found out
we needed another flagpole.
The flagpole, and then all the complications that came with flying a flag. I've read the policy. I am happy for the changes, and I guess my only question is: have we had any feedback from the public in regards to this policy, or any issues? Everyone's all happy with it.
Mr. Stewart.
Through you, Mayor, I certainly haven't had any direct feedback from the public about either the way we fly flags or certainly on this policy.
Any further contributions? Okay, I'll put the recommendation move. Oh, sorry, Councillor Richardson.
Sorry, just a really minor thing. 3.3 has been struck out to fly the flag in accordance with the policy and with the Australian Government's flag protocols. I'm just after some clarification as to why that's been struck out.
Because it was a repeat of...
That was a repeat, was it?
What was up in 1.2. It's referred to in there about the Australian National Flag Protocols.
Okay,
so we're just
good.
Tidying it up.
Yeah,
there is actually a whole booklet, I've now cited it, which is all about how you have to fly the flags, and it's quite remarkable. Yeah. Any further discussion? If not, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Midgley and seconded by Councillor Street. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Takes us to page 54, Suncoast Drive, Blackmans Bay, licensed to TAS Networks for Community Battery Project, with a recommendation on page 56. And I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved Councillor Antoli, seconded Councillor Midgley. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. We're here to consider approving the building of a battery storage solution at Suncoast Drive Reserve at Blackmans Bay. The purpose of it is to actually create, it's based on some federal funding that TAS Networks have been able to receive from the federal government. And the purpose of the battery is to actually provide some network stability in the area. Unfortunately, the purpose of the battery is not to provide battery electricity to the community during an outage, because apparently that would require a massive, massive battery installation, which is not something that I think we would want to be putting into that lovely piece of property that we own. There was some concern when the... I suppose it was a familiar, I don't know what you'd call it, an exhibition that TAS Networks provided. I went to that. I think I was the only councillor there, and there was some concern about what would happen if one of the batteries caught on fire and it needed to be extinguished, and the very dangerous chemicals that they produce and the chemicals needed to extinguish it would go into the drainage system. That was, I suppose I'm happy to see that Those concerns have not materialised in any complaints from the community, which personally surprised me given that they were quite passionate at the time. So maybe TAS Networks has alleviated those concerns, or the people in question have moved from the area so it doesn't concern them anymore. But it was a very good concern because batteries do go up. So it really is of no cost to us, but it is of maybe benefit to the community from the point of view of network stability. I'm not going to get into the technicalities. I only understand one third of it. I'll leave that to others more learned around the table to explain. But I think it's a good proposal worth supporting, and I commend it to my peers to vote in favour.
Thank you. Councillor Richardson.
Thank you. The recommendation at 4.4, or the preferred option, is to enter into a license agreement rather than create an easement. I just wanted to get a little bit of understanding on the rationale for that, the any potential issues around timeframes if that license has a expiry date, and basically, yeah, what the thinking was and why we came to that recommendation.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, an easement registered on title. It's a far more formal mechanism to provide tenure. We don't believe it's necessary in this instance. An easement normally relates to services that cross over a title. This is not crossing a title. It's placement of infrastructure on the title. The license is considered to be an appropriate mechanism. TAS Networks are happy with that particular option, and it's an option that provides greater flexibility in terms of if the infrastructure was to be removed. There's no requirement then to remove the easement from title. So, yeah, all things considered, it was considered to be a better option.
Councillor Richardson.
Thank you. And as far as the term of that agreement, is that in perpetuity? And my other question, which is just escaped me, so answer that one.
All right, let's try him on that one first, and then you can think, Councillor, Mr. Smee.
Thank you, Mayor. No, it's an annual licence agreement, so it's reviewed annually and renewed annually. So providing there are no issues and providing both parties are happy to renew the licence, it will roll on until such time as either party wishes to end the agreement.
Councillor Richardson.
Thank you. Okay, so the creation of the agreement, then the ongoing review and re-signing of that agreement, will the income from the agreement cover the cost of us putting all that in place, given that it's stated that it'll be minimal?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, yes, that would be the intent of the application of the licence fee, that it covers our administrative costs in doing exactly what you said.
Councillor Richardson.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, and generally great little project and great for the community.
Thank you. Councillor Antoli, do you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Just a question follow-up. I understand from talking to TAS Networks that the chance of fire is low because these are commercial-grade, high-quality batteries. They're not your little scooters that catch on fire. Has there been any discussion about the need or otherwise of any form of fire suppression there that is automated if something does go wrong? No. Or have they said the likelihood is so small it's not worth the expense?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, yeah, TASFIRE did provide us with advice with respect to the likelihood of fire, and it's not considered that there is a need for suppression on site.
Any further discussion? Councillor Antoli, you don't want to sum up? Nope, I'm going to put the recommendation now. Moved by Councillor Antoli and seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We're now on to item 15.6, KWS board appointment, that Mr. Mackey is going to leave the room for because he has a conflict of interest because it involves appointing him. We'll just wait until Mr. Mackey has left the room, and I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved Councillor Cordova, seconded Councillor Midgley. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. So this is a recommendation to appoint a non-executive director to the board of Kingborough Waste Services. I'll take the report as read and I lend my endorsement to it.
Thank you. Any further contributions? Councillor Antoli.
I think in my interactions with Mr Mackey, he's going to be a great asset. I've already been quite impressed with some of the work he's done and the response that he has provided me with to community feedback. In fact, I gave him a customer compliment email, probably the only one he'll ever receive while he's here. And it was...
probably don't do get without them. That bit of commentary, thanks.
Yeah, we don't get them very often, you know. They're sort of rare, but it was actually sincere from me and from people in the community, and I copied the CEO, and I think he's going to be great. I hope he doesn't disappoint that assessment.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was a really appropriate lot of commentary, perhaps, on assessing in an open session, as complimentary as it was, the performance of staff.
It was entirely intended as complimentary. Mm. When I said the only one he received is we don't get a lot of customer compliments in that particular department.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Otherwise, I'm going to put the recommendation moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. If somebody could please let... Yep, thank you. We will, while Mr Mackey is returning to the room, we will move on to the item 15.7, financial report for April 2025, with a recommendation on page 61. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved Councillor Bain, seconded Councillor Midgley. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. So the report for us is for the financial report April 2025. We're told that Council's cash and investments total at the end of April was $12.2 million compared to $6.6 million this time last year. So it's good to see us in a much stronger position in this space for this financial year. In terms of our 24-25 budgets, our recurrent savings totalling $750,000 remain the same, and that's made up of $100,000 in additional rates revenue, $150,000 in increased gym membership fees, the $450,000 depreciation adjustment and $50,000 interest on overdue rates. The big change this month is, from an expense side of things, is against the carrying amounts of assets retired line item. Council had budgeted $500,000 against this item and the forecast has now been adjusted to $1.9 million. So I'd just like to ask a question here. I guess can we have a bit of an overview on when Council would typically see assets retired early? And also, which assets make up this $1.9 million figure?
Thank you. Just before I go to Mr. Spinks, just Mrs. Morton had a technical issue then, just to let her know that this was moved by Councillor Bain and seconded by Councillor Midgley. Mr. Spinks.
Through you, Mayor. So, look, assets, as we know, all have an expected life on them. Unfortunately, sometimes assets do fail and do expire before their theoretical end-of-life date. So in those circumstances, when they do fail and they need to be replaced ahead of time, obviously on the books, those assets still have a value. So when that occurs, we need to write that value off. Other circumstances where write-off can occur can be where assets are replaced ahead of their theoretical date just for other reasons. So we might make decisions to replace assets as part of the Capital Works program for community service, for community amenity, to refresh certain assets and these kinds of reasons. Sometimes when you're doing a Capital Works job, you might do ancillary works at the same time, even though theoretically those ancillary works may not necessarily be due yet. So an example might be where you're doing road works, you might take the opportunity at the same time to renew the curb and channel. And the thinking there being that it's probably cheaper to do it all as one go rather than to sort of do one part of the job and then in 3 or 4 or 6 years or whatever the case may be, come back and do the remaining part of the job. So there can be a variety of reasons why this happens. In terms of the adjustment we've made for this month, it comprises a range of reasons. So what the asset management team have provided me is some of the larger contributing items. So We had the Whitewater Creek path where an existing concrete path was removed for construction of a new wider one and better one. The write-off there was around $380,000. We've had two public toilets that were refurbished, but not just refurbished. I think the existing toilets were pretty much demolished, and so there was a $180,000 write-off associated with those. We also had a couple of road reconstruction projects where assets were replaced ahead of time, and they contributed about $750,000 in write-off, and those two road projects were Jamala Road and Powell Road, and the advice I've been given is that those reconstruction works included addressing undersized stormwater pipes, a change in material of those pipes from plastic to concrete, road widening to current standards, which meant the road required thicker base and subgrade reinforcement, which meant the original base had to be removed and replaced with new, so that's a write-off of those assets. So I think between those examples there, we're looking at about 1.3 million of the 1.9 in total.
Thank you. Councillor Bain.
Thanks for that explanation. That was very comprehensive. It's good. So a follow-up question in relation to that. It's obviously a very disappointing result for this financial year. The question is, will it have any bearing on next financial year's budget, or is it a one-off hit that we take now and then nothing moving forward?
Mr. Spinks.
Through you, Mayor, the write-off that you make in any given year doesn't have any impact on subsequent years, but of course there might be write-offs in that following year for different purposes. So Council does budget for this. For a very long period of time, we've been putting $500,000 into the budget for write-off. Now, it has to be said, that's a figure which is not really based on any great degree of rigour. It's primarily loosely based upon history. So if you go back over the previous 10 years, your write-off amount has varied from, I think, a low of about $400,000 to a high of $2 million. So $500,000 is seen as some kind of loose average, if I can call it that. The WLF Financial Sustainability Review that they did a few months ago reported to the February audit panel meeting. One of the issues they highlighted was that this budget item at $500,000 was at the low end of that sort of 10-year history. So we've increased that budget for next year to $750,000. But once again, it has to be said, there's not a great deal of rigour behind that. Where we need to get to is better asset management and better asset planning, such that write-offs of this nature can be identified and forecast and budgeted for in a much more rigorous way than they currently are.
Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. And just a question in relation to a different line item. Under the grants recurrent income, the summary talks about the first instalment of the AFL Precinct Master Plan grant, $150,000, was also unbudgeted but received in April. So my question is this grant funding we've received, and so will that increase the forecast variance against grants recurrent moving forward?
Mr. Spinks.
Through you, Mayor, yes, it will. So as we go through, if we receive another instalment this financial year, we'll have to make a forecast adjustment for that. And then as we roll into next financial year, as we receive those instalments, we'll be making forecast adjustments again. Equally on the expense side, because we're incurring cost, of course, while this is happening, that's what the reimbursements are for. Yeah. So on both sides of the equation, we'll have to make forecast adjustments.
Okay. Councillor Bain.
And just my last question in relation to that is, have we thought about moving forward for this project? Will we be keeping all the costs within existing budgets, or will we be moving to a sole budget for this project itself? Or is that yet to be decided?
Mr. Spinks.
Through you, Mayor, the costs we're incurring at the moment are more operational in nature, design and various bits and pieces. Obviously, as we go into construction phase and we start building ovals and other things, they'll certainly have their own cost centre within the capital works budget.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks, Councillor Bain, for those questions regarding the assets retired. I was wondering also what we're going to put in place for the future in regards to anticipating this and managing this, because they do come as a surprise to us when we think things are maybe better than they were forecast. We have this surprise. I'm sure that happens for staff as well. I've got a question around our capital works budget. Are we on target? How far are we predicted to be behind by June 30 this year?
Mr. Spinks.
Through you, Mayor. So, when you have a very large capital works program like we do in terms of number of projects, not necessarily in total dollar terms, it's inevitable that come 30 June every year, which is when we do the measure up, some of those projects won't be complete, and indeed some of those projects probably haven't been commenced yet. So that's the situation we've been in for a fairly long period of time. So if you look at the finance reports for this month, you'll see that there's a carry forward that came into this financial year over and above the capital works budget that we approved for this year of around $11 million. My understanding is the prediction for the end of this year is around $10 million.
Yep.
For unspent capital works projects.
Thank you. What is the implication on that for the next financial year?
Mr. Spinks.
Through you, Mayor. Mr. Mackey might be able to help me, but we've got the capital works workshop next Monday night, and we're in the process of wanting to do something about this carry-forward situation. So we're just working our way through that at the moment. But it's likely what we're going to present you with next Monday is a works program for 25-26, which comprises a real focused effort on catching up as best we can. We won't be able to do it all in one financial year, but catching up to a considerable degree on these carry forwards, which means the 25-26 standalone program, if I can call it that, will probably be reduced to partly compensate. So I think the overall program will probably be something in the order of $17 or $18 million. Our normal annual program is probably around 12, so you can see what we're aiming for, catching up, if you like, around about 5. Now that's subject to finalisation between now and then.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you for the update. One theme we have heard in our budget workshops and financial reports is around asset management strategy. I'm wondering if we can have perhaps, after we pass the budget, a focused workshop on our asset management plan, like where we are now, so we get a full understanding, where we want to get to and how we're going to get there.
Mr. Stewart.
Yeah, through you, Mayor, absolutely we can have a workshop on that. Certainly it's an area that you will have heard a number of times referenced and an area for improvement that we have identified and we will be prioritising. So we can certainly have that workshop with councillors to both talk about where we are and certainly where we want to get to and, importantly, how we're going to get there.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Councillor Bain, did you want to sum up?
Only to wholeheartedly agree with what's already been said. And Director of Finance mentioned it too, that this is something that's been raised constantly, so it's good to hear that it is something we're going to focus on moving forward, because it obviously needs to be.
Thank you. I'll put the recommendation then, moved by Councillor Bain and seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Takes us to page 82, appendices, with a recommendation on the same page. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Got a mover in Councillor Gladewright and a seconder in Councillor Bain. Any questions on the appendices? Councillor Gladewright.
No questions. I just wanted to say that there's lots of really great information, though, in the natural areas and biodiversity report. Lots of great things happening, platypus walks, Clean Up Australia Day, 12,000 trees propagated, a nice new nursery upgrade, lots of seasonal walks, lots of really great things. It's a fantastic report, and it's always good to see all this positive activity in our community.
Thank you very much. Councillor Midgley and then Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, echo Councillor Glaidwright in regards to the biodiversity report. And, yeah, I've been out and about to a few of these ones as well. The Whitewater Creek, I guess, drew my attention. That Clean Up Australia Day event just was attended by, did it say there anyway, 50-something? Yeah, 56 people. It was so fantastic, and that love of the platypus is really growing, and it was also really sad to see how much rubbish actually they collected from the Whitewater Creek. I think I might have asked this after that event, but I'm wondering at all, and I know signage is also very, like, people don't look at signs. They get a bit complacent around, repeating signs. But I think it would just be such a great community project, really, to highlight, you know, with the local schools around the platypus and the rubbish. Have we thought about putting anything in the budget next year for a little bit of money to kind of, you know, protect the local platypus?
Not that was in the draft budget that we considered at our workshop last week.
Okay, maybe we'll have to look out for grants or something, I think, because there was definitely an interest there from the community members really wanting to do something. And I think we've got that passion in the community. If the staff have that capacity to kind of grasp that, yeah.
Ms. Shikuti, I can tell, is itching to say something because her finger is on the button.
Through you, Mayor, we do have some resources allocated for fauna management, so within our programming. I'm not sure if it's a specific line item in the budget, which we can think about focusing on the platypus, but we also, it's a good point, and I did find it a little bit alarming to see the amount of litter that was retrieved from Whitewater Creek, noting that it is actually quite a big catchment, Whitewater Creek. But we also have, we do a lot of awareness programming, so I will discuss with staff whether that's something we can focus on moving forward.
Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
A couple more things around the trainee Aboriginal Land Management Officer. So that partnership is finished, and I've met the officer there out and about at so many different community events, and it has been really valuable to have that partnership on board. I know as well that we've done the cultural awareness training, but are we having any more projects, I guess, in regards to partnerships with SeaTac moving forward?
Ms. Shikuti.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, we are maintaining that partnership for a trainee and working through the details of an MOU. Agree, it has been a really valuable partnership for Council and I hope for SeaTac as well. And then we will, moving forward, be thinking about other initiatives that we can do and integrate into the way that we plan our work, both on the ground and our strategies as well.
Thank you. Any further questions on the appendices, Councillor? Councillor Midgley, you've got one more.
Is that okay? I do, yes. It was in regards to the climate change risk assessment, where it says an organisation-wide risk assessment has been undertaken to identify the risks posed to council activities by a changing climate. Did we at all kind of put this in line with the budget? So I guess have a look at this climate change risk in regards to, say, some budget projects or what's the bigger impact on this risk assessment?
Ms. Shikuti.
Through you, Mayor, not specifically as a result of the risk assessment. So we've only just finalised that, and there is some work to do in understanding how that will translate not only to budget but asset planning, etc. So that is part of the our climate officer's role and work plan to, thoroughly understand it and work with the other areas in council to start to plan for and integrate into our work, including the budget.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Just two brief ones. The first is around cat management. I note the responsible cat ownership. section there. My question really is about, anecdotally, I'm getting lots of feedback around the increase in feral cat sightings about the municipality. Is there a plan to increase resource allocation, particularly to the trapping of feral cats?
Mr. Cootie.
Through you, Mayor, no, not at this stage.
Thank you. Next question relates to the CEO's activities. 7th of April, 17th of April, the 2nd of May, and potentially the 8th of May, relating to meeting with real estate entities regarding development. I was just hoping we could unpack the what that's about and how that's all going. And am I wrong that the 8th of May one is related to the others?
Mr.
Thanks.
Stewart.
Through you, Mayor. So the 8th of May is on a separate topic. And as is the 7th of April meeting, that was on a specific real estate transaction. Oh. And saying that, I've also subsequently met with another real estate provider or agency subsequent to the closure of this agenda and this. So I guess there's, what we're seeing at the moment is a really strong interest in Kingborough from, in particular, commercial operators who are wanting to come to Kingborough. One of the challenges we're seeing here is land availability and where operators can come and set up the businesses that they wish to serve our community. But realistically, we have very limited land parcels, certainly in public ownership, but also in private ownership that are available of the site, and we're talking big parcels of land here available for development. So these conversations have largely been talking at a general level around what the insights that they're seeing within the real estate area, so, you know, the commercial demand that there is for Kingborough, and certainly talking about ideas at a high level that we may be able to address these things through time. Certainly, Kingston Park has also been a topic of conversation through that as well, looking to explore opportunities with the real estate community about what are some of the opportunities that may be able to activate that area more rapidly.
Thank
you. Councillor Cordova.
Through you, Mayor, just a follow-up question on that. Because this relates to strategic land use and, I guess, a kind of a long-term vision for the municipality, is this a conversation that the councillors can be brought in on, maybe by means of a workshop or something, as the conversation progresses? I get the sense that it's very high level at the moment, but I'm sure it will develop.
Mr. Stewart.
Certainly, strategic land use planning and that sort of long-term view of how land is unlocked for various purposes and the trade-offs that come alongside that is something that is critically important for us as a municipality, but also more generally across Tasmania and southern Tasmania to make sure that we're addressing appropriately. So there has been a working group from a number of the southern regional councils working together to update the Stralis document. In saying that, that working group has recently disbanded and the output as is has been passed back to the state government for finalisation. The reason for that, and I don't want to go into too much detail because I would not potentially be being entirely accurate because I'm not close enough to it, but the process was somewhat stalled in terms of being able to get the cut through that they were looking for from that process being undertaken. So that's a long way of saying that it's critically important that there has been work happening. It's probably not been as fast as we might like it. It's getting to the point where it's producing an output. It's certainly one that's on our radar as staff within Kingborough and one that we're looking to, make sure that we can lean into over time to really make sure that we're looking with a longer-term horizon about how we plan for growth within our communities. We know there's a demand for it, but we also know that there's some real challenges that go alongside it. So certainly it's something that we can have a conversation with councillors about at the right time. It's probably not the right time now because we don't have a lot to talk about with councillors as yet.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a final follow-up on that. I'm just I want to make sure we're not putting the cart before the horse. The reason why I was interested in councillors just having, I guess, a bit more visibility around what these conversations might be about is I just wanted to have some comfort that if we're meeting with real estate agents to talk about potentially unlocking areas or finding out what's available or things like that, that feels like it's a bit of a red flag in a way. So I just because we want strategic, we want things like the Strellis to be completed with our input before those kinds of decisions, operational decisions, start to be implemented. So we don't put the cart before the horse, if that makes sense.
Through you,
Mr. Mayor. Stewart.
So these meetings have been at the request of the agencies, not at the request of council, and they are certainly not getting into the position where we're talking about plan changes or anything like that. These are, like I say, at the request of the agencies themselves to talk to us. Certainly we need to be listening to the feedback that we are getting from the market in terms of the opportunities that are available out there, and the challenges that the market are seeing. We need to factor that into our thinking, but this is not something that's being driven out of my office or out of council at the moment.
Thank you. That's good to hear. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there further questions on the appendices? I've got a couple. Just in relation to the EV, so I'm on page 106 of the agenda, the EV charging station election commitment grant. So that was something that we had put forward for the last state election, and I know that it was planned to be in the Channel region because there's no EV charging south of Kingston. I think the nearest one then is Signet, and that's, I think, a specific Tesla one, which doesn't suit all vehicles. Do we know yet where that one's going to be located? Anybody? Ms. Shakuti?
Through you, Mayor, and I might have to defer to the Director.
I love it when the Directors all start looking at one another.
I believe it's Kettering. Is that correct? No?
No.
Sorry, I know there was apologies. some discussion at one stage of it being in Kettering,
yes,
to accommodate those people before they, if they needed to charge before heading to Bruny Island, but I'm not sure where we've landed.
Through you, Mayor, in my discussion with our climate change officer who's managing this project, the preferred location is Margate in the council-owned car park adjoining Banjos.
Right. Okay. I'm just interested in the thought process behind that, given the lack of them in the channel, I guess lower channel. Margate's only 10 minutes away from another charging station or two charging stations here in central Kingston, so I'm just wondering why we haven't gone further down the channel to address some of those issues. Ms. Shakuti.
Apologies that I'm only across this on a high level at the moment, but I will discuss this with staff and come back to you.
Thank you.
Mayor, if I may, be able to enlighten you.
Councillor Ntoli.
Yes. I was the person who put this, when I was a Liberal candidate at the state election, I was the one that actually put this grant request in, and it was awarded based on my case. And Margate was chosen arbitrarily more than scientifically and strategically.
Mm. I'm just wondering whether that needs to be reconsidered, given that there are none in the further south, and for tourists in particular, when there's an increasing number of EVs that you can hire as rent-a-cars, it becomes difficult, yeah, as I know from someone who drives an EV, and it can become very challenging if you, yeah, find yourself away from a charging station.
My suspicion is the state government would be somewhat neutral and would leave it to us.
Yeah, that's why I just think it'd be worth, if I can just leave that at that for consideration.
My understanding is that there has been assessment and thought put into the location, and I imagine there are other considerations that, yep, are relevant as well in terms of land availability and infrastructure, etc., but I will take that on notice.
If you could, thank you. And I just wanted to, just then on the following page, on page 107, just wanted to highlight the progress that has been made in the discussions with SeaTac about having cultural burning, cool burning on our reserves. So it mentions here that there are burns planned for Boronia and Hawthorne reserves, and then also potentially Algona Reserve. And that's for those who, and there are quite a few councillors who were over on Bruny Island with me a few years ago when we went to a cultural burning workshop, and it was very, very interesting. And I know this is something that CTAC and others have been very keen to see us progress. And in fact, at the briefing for the Margate fire, there was actually a question from a member of the community about using these cool burning techniques as hazard reduction in a more proactive way. So I'm really pleased to see the progress on this. If there are no other questions, I will just put the recommendation moved by Councillor Gladright and seconded by Councillor Bain. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. Notices of motion. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no notices of motion. So it takes us to the final page 82, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations. Council by absolute majority moved into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence and tender assessment AB 2409 Kingston Beach Foreshore Revitalisation Stage 1. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved, Councillor Bain. Seconded, Councillor Gladright. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. Thank you very much for your attendance this evening. In accordance with Kingborough Council Meetings Audio Recordings Guidelines Policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. So open session of Council adjourns at 7:25 p.m. Good evening.